It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, and that's Dr. Michael Rice. Today is Day Memorial Day. Celebration 144. Michael will talk a little more about that here in a moment. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Then if you want to speak to Michael, questions, comments, press 1, and we'll put you in queue to talk to him. And otherwise, Michael, are you with us?
I am with you for eternity. Beautiful sunny day in the Ozarks, a little on the chilly side. Just out closing up buildings, getting ready to travel to head to Greensboro, North Carolina. For anybody that's in the Greensboro area, starting on Sunday, we'll be doing 5 days of free workshops. And then on Saturday, we'll do Mind Shifters and Soul Point Greeting at Unity of Greensboro, North Carolina. You can pick the flyer up on that or the flyers at www.whyagain.com. And our Memorial Day celebration is about how we change what happens in the world and the power that we have. You know, one of the silly games of the world is you don't have any power, there's nothing you can do, you're just one person. And I believe it was Margaret Mead that said, yeah, and only one person has been able to change the world, one person at a time. And so our invitation to you is to be willing to be part of that change. That if there's some arena in your life where you have any form of hostility or fear, that you become willing to forgive. That is, your hostility and fear belongs to no one else and is caused by no one else but you. And forgiveness is the tool with which you go inside yourself and change that insane dynamic of hostility and fear rather than the cultural norm of denial. No, this isn't my fear. This isn't my anger. They made me angry. And, of course, when we live in they, we give away our power. The idea of this work is to support you in totally, completely reclaiming your power. And so we're here to support you in that. And Jeannie, do we have any callers or anything going on in the chat room? Nope. Okay. Well, we'd be here, and we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us, www.whyagain.com is our website. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. 6-9. And if you look at the links on the right-hand side of our homepage at whyagain.com, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. That's where you'll find an explanation of exactly how to change the content of your mind using Aramaic forgiveness. So we invite you to take on the task of the willingness to change that content and enter into a new world, a world that functions without hostility and fear. That's what we're here to support happening on planet Earth. And we're delighted to be having the opportunity to share it with you. Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us today? Do we have David? David and Tim are both here. Awesome. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well.
Awesome. That's fabulous. As are we. We're just putting it all together to get on the road. And what's happening in your world, Tim?
Well, I'm working on getting the video and maybe separate out the audio of my Why Again workshop from Sunday. Some glitches with the software are making it so that I now have two DVDs, an hour on each of the video.
Uh-huh.
And there's another 20 minutes or more that needs to get put on a separate DVD. I'd like to be able to just put it on one, but I haven't been able to figure out how to do that.
And, how long is it?
It's about 2 hours and 20 minutes, something like that, all told.
Well, actually, our latest two-hour video is about 2 hours and 20 minutes, and we were able to just lower the compression just a little bit, or the resolution just a little bit, and it still comes across pretty well, and it all goes on one CD or one DVD.
Yeah, I'm just having the technical glitch to figure out how to make that work, but I'm working on that, and I'll send you the DVDs. The way they are now, I asked Jeannie to send me an email where I could send them to you while you're on the road.
Okay.
And if you want to call me. Say that again?
If you want to call me right after the show, we have a friend that does our editing, and he might be able to give you some support. He's the one who lowered the compression so that it would all fit on one DVD.
Okay. I got a quick note from Jeannie yesterday about that you might want me to sit in for the show on some days coming up?
Yeah, actually, this year we were scheduled to go to, we try to open one new country a year, and we were scheduled to go to Spain, and with the way the economy is and all, we just decided that wasn't a sensible thing to do. But we'd actually booked this almost 2 years ago, and so in canceling, it was either lose the money for the trip or apply it somewhere. So we're going to do a five-day, just a little short five-day cruise. The deposit we'd made on that that Europe trip paid for a five-day cruise. And so we're going to jump on a cruise ship on the 31st for 5 days out of Miami before we start in St. Petersburg, Florida. And so if that would work, that would be awesome if you could do that.
What are the dates there?
The 31st through the 5th, I believe it is. The 4th. 31st through the 4th.
We get back on the 5th, but the radio says through the 4th.
Okay, say that again, Jeannie.
We get back on the 5th, but that's a Saturday. So the radio show that we need covered is October 31st through November 4th.
Okay.
And if we need to, we can play, get Carol to do reruns.
Yeah, well, I should be able to do those.
Awesome. And she's going to run switchboard for us.
Yeah. And David, he's got a lot on his plate, but I'm sure he'd be there to be part of it too, at least when he can, with what's happening in Louisville. David, how are you being today?
I'm doing very well, and as we spoke this morning, I was processing through a few more things, and certainly I'll make it available to be there for support on the show as well. So,
awesome.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, gentlemen, anything on anybody's mind today that we want to be talking about or addressing? Support groups? Anything to talk about in particular?
Well, we had our support group on Tuesday, which had 8 people plus me again, and it was we did the first half of Empowered to Heal, and that really stirs up things for people. We had somebody in the group who was brand new, and they were talking about vertigo they have, and as you can imagine, when it's your first introduction to the material and it starts talking about physicality and you've got a serious physical problem that you've recently become aware of and gotten the diagnosis for and all of that, that it really stirred things up for people. And there were some people in the group who wanted to talk about how we can help you heal that, or you can heal that, or it isn't real. And so it was quite a stimulating discussion, and it fit right in with what you had been talking about on Monday and apparently continued on Tuesday and Wednesday. I was only able to listen to part of yesterday's, very, very brief part of yesterday's talk. So it was a very lively discussion, and people are struggling with the issue of, do we really have a body, and if we don't, and if we do, and who's causing the discomfort we're feeling. And so I thought it was interesting because it really fed into the same discussions you were having about physicality and illness and energy systems on Monday and Tuesday as well.
Yeah, it is. When we've been trained all our lives to see things in a certain way, it's certainly an abrupt face, about face, to say, maybe something else is true here. Maybe there's something else going on. And when you see there's something else going on, then it takes the willingness to move to a new paradigm. And, you know, most of the world is set up to make sure new paradigms don't come into effect, because the paradigm that exists, whatever it is, I don't care whether it's medical, whether it's financial, whether it's government, whether it's business, the paradigm that exists because it's making money for people. And so from that point of view, it works for them. However, if it's not true, though it may work, why not go for truth? Because what will happen is, of course, to let go of the benefits of that which isn't true, to acquire the benefits for that which is true, is the only logical thing to do, because, of course, the benefits in what's true are much, much larger. However, until you've got the brain cells for that, you know, our little story about the dog and the gold and the ounce of gold on the plate. You know, the dog's only got the brain cells for what will benefit him right here, right now, and that is that pound of hamburger. And you got a plate 6 inches away with a coin on it that could buy 1,500 pounds of hamburger. Certainly a much, much larger benefit than the pound of hamburger that's going to, you know, perhaps start to satisfy the dog's taste buds for and hunger for, you know, an hour or so. But he could have 1,500 pounds of hamburger, and it's not an easy thing to build the brain cells for giving up what produces a benefit, or even if it doesn't produce a benefit, except that it helps you to be part of the club that believes in that paradigm. You know, a lot of people, it's one of the biggest things because of the way their family systems worked was the issue of belonging. And when they didn't feel like they belonged, anything will do. You know, the kid who doesn't belong at home goes and, you know, picks up a baseball bat and beats in an old man's head in order to be part of the club and to gain acceptance in the club, the gang members. There's a benefit to that. He gets to belong. And if he didn't belong in his family system, now he belongs. It's one of the deepest needs there is. And so belonging to a club that believes in a paradigm that makes some people money but destroys others is pretty insane. You know, like one of the most common clubs on the that's been around on the planet for a long time that benefits certain people and destroys others' lives is the one that we address every show when we choose to remember Memorial Day. And those who have been murdered or forced to murder or have been injured, maimed, brought their injuries, their traumas home to their family systems, there's just a huge cost to that. But in order to be part of that club, I don't remember precisely the quote from Einstein, but Einstein has a quote about how there was a mistake made when those who had, at the drop of a hat, jumped for patriotism and go to war, there was a mistake made in giving them a full human brain. A spinal cord would have done. That's what, you know, Einstein's comment was. Now, it wasn't very popular with the people in the club when he confronted that, but the benefit, the financial benefit to certain people and the power benefits make that a ruling paradigm. And, you know, that's why each day we invite everybody to pick up one issue, just one small issue, where we're willing to forgive and heal some form of hostility or fear in us. And as we do that, produce a different kind of world. And the benefits of that one are the difference between living in the hostility and fear world and living as an actual human being, and we define the human life as just hold a newborn child, you know what human life is, the benefit is as big a benefit as the pound of hamburger and the ounce of gold on the plate for the dog. But until somebody's got the brain cells, they can't select it. Until they undo the brain cells for the insane part of the process, it's not a choice any more than picking up the ounce of gold in its teeth and walking out the front door with it. It would be a choice for any dog because the dog doesn't have the brain cells. And so we're working to support the building of the brain cells for a new paradigm. And if we listen to the greatest minds in the world of physics, you know, Einstein tells us matter doesn't exist, that it's energy solidified. Max Planck, as he's receiving the Nobel Prize in physics, says, as a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. Our entire world is made up of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields nested one within another. And when you start to apply that idea from physics to physiology, and you recognize there are nested frequencies that don't belong in your structure, what's the indicator that there's a nested frequency in your structure that doesn't belong there? Hostility and fear. And every nested frequency that produces hostility and fear produces disease in the cellular structure. That's all. And in the ancient Aramaic, nesting a frequency that didn't belong in the human structure, that is putting hostility or fear into the structure, was called sin. And sin is actually an archery term. And when you fire at the target in the Aramaic, the scorekeeper would yell, sin, you're off the mark. As in, take another shot, like look for another paradigm, folks, rather than buying into that energy that's off the mark. So just a gentle shift into starting to see there are qualities of energy that belong in our structures, and there are qualities that don't. The ones that don't produce disease, and all disease is self-inflicted. That's a tough nut to swallow. That's a tough paradigm to jump to. If you are facing, you know, there's a great line in The Course in Miracles that says, problems are meaningless, but don't tell that to somebody who's in the middle of one. And so we're looking to get to the place where we chip away individually and collectively at every hostility and fear that never belonged and come to a new paradigm, a new way of being, where the actual presence of a human life, that energy that was there at the incoming of the newborn, remains active in our physiology, in our emotions, in our minds, 24/7, 365. That's a paradigm shift for sure. Jeannie, do we have any callers? Anything in the chat room?
Hold just a moment. I was
you have your mute button on, please. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Okay. I can.
All right.
There's no callers in the switchboard. If you're out there, there's plenty of people out there. If you want to talk, please press 1, and that lets us know, and we'll put you in queue. There's just people out in the chat room. Nobody's saying anything. I was just looking when you were talking of one of the easiest ways for me to get a handle on. It's real hard, I think, for people to consider that their body's not a solid body or whatever. And one of the easiest ways for me has been there's a screensaver, and it's called Perspectives, Powers of 10. And it starts with the universe. I mean, like, it's magnified way out, and you can just see all these little stars and all these little particles, and then it magnifies it and brings it in, and then you can see the Milky Way, and then it brings it in a little more, and then you can see, you know, and it just keeps bringing it in until you finally you're on the earth, and then it goes to the farm on the earth, and then a tree on the farm, and a leaf on the tree, and then when it goes into that leaf one more time, then you can see all of the electrons, protons, neutrons, and all the little parts of the plant cells, and it looks like the universe, like that first one. And so it's just a magnification, and when you take it down to looking at the leaf and what it's made of, which to look at the leaf, it's solid, but then when it magnifies it down to where you can see all the little particles, it looks just like the universe did on the very first one. So that's pretty awesome. So that was a way for me to kind of grasp that. You know, if we had a magnifying glass or something strong enough to look on the back of our hand, it would look that same way. It would just be all these little moving particles and nothing solid there. And so that was the easiest way to grasp onto that idea of us not being solid. And we do have a hand up now in the switchboard.
Awesome. Let's welcome caller.
All right, so area code 517, you're on the air. Who do we have?
It's Mitzi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey,
you
guys.
Young lady. Hi there. Hear your voice.
Thank you. I'm at work, so I have just a moment because the phone could be ringing on my end here. But, Michael, my question is I often get hung up on the reality management worksheet when it comes to the punishment thought.
Right.
And I was just hoping you could maybe talk briefly about that, because I end up just being perplexed there, or sometimes just write something in. I can't find it in me. So I'm just wondering if you could give me some insights about that, or give us some insights about that step.
Sure. Good question. You know, you'll see on the sheet that we've got punishment avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that word avoid in. Oh, 3 or 4 years ago, we had a group here at Heartland, and several of them were like, well, I just never punished that, you know, it just wouldn't happen. Well, then, what would be a substitute for that? Well, you know, I just don't want anything to do with them. I just want to avoid them. So I'll put that in. So we put that in and handed out the worksheets. And then informed people about the research that says the worst form of punishment you can do to a person is to put them into isolation. Avoid them. Cut them off from contact. It's the worst punishment that there is. That's why children join gangs. Nice children join gangs because they've been cut off from their community and they're looking for a community to be part of. And so to look at that idea that, you know, well, I just don't want to talk to you, I don't want anything to do with you, can be one of the most dramatic forms of punishment, and most people don't think of that as punishment.
So then the punishment thought can simply be, I wish to avoid or seclude. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And the other place you might want to go is to do a couple of worksheets around when you were a kid, were you allowed to have a punishment thought? A lot of times, you know, the punishers around us are allowed to have their punishment thoughts, but we're not as children. And so our punishment thoughts get pounded down until we become dissociated from them and don't even know that they're there. And so you might just do a couple of worksheets with Mitzi as number one on the sheet,
uh-huh,
and the object of attention, and then just, you know, what's the situation? Well, you know, I come to this step on the worksheet, and I don't want to punish. And what's my thought? What's my feeling? What's my goal? And go through that and see if you uncover anything. You might just do that.
All right.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right, nice to hear your voice. We're going
Thank
to introduce you.
You
after you leave the show. I know you need to run, but
yep.
Go,
Okay, blessings. Take care.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye, you guys.
You've heard Rex on the show a few times, Rex Montague Bauer, who teaches the work up in Michigan, in Lansing. And he has a support group there at the last, I think it's Tuesday night or Wednesday night of the month. And he has an ongoing work with people that he's doing out of the Why Is This Happening to Me Again work and some other work that he's done. And Mitzi is his wife. She is a midwife in Lansing, Michigan. So, Mitzi, welcome. We're glad to hear your voice on the show. Gee, any other callers?
Michael?
Yes, sir.
One of the comments is, frequently in our group, we have people who, when they first come in and get started working on the process and the worksheets, they cannot bring themselves to be aware of or admit that they have a punishment thought. And we have several who've gone through this cycle, and it's amazing to watch how the more they're willing to do the worksheets and just keep plugging in, I don't have a punishment thought, or I just want to avoid them, or I would never do anything to hurt them, or the more they just let themselves do the worksheet, the more they start to come in with, wow, I just had this thought, I want to yell at them. And then a couple weeks later or a couple months later, they'll come in, and one of their big breakthroughs is, oh my gosh, I did this worksheet, and I had this thought, it was this really violent punishment thought. And they're reporting it with great joy that they finally got into that file in their mind. They let themselves have access to the file on punishment thoughts. And they have that great joy because now they're actually getting more out of the worksheets. When they allow themselves access to the negative, they can actually consciously dismantle it even more. So they find that the worksheets are even more productive. So I just want to throw that out there for people like Mitzi who are having difficulty accessing the punishment thoughts. Don't give up. Just keep doing the worksheets. And there's gold in them there hills.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And one of the reasons I think why people are really enjoy when they do that is because they're reconnecting with the part of themselves they've dissociated from. And every part that we dissociate from causes us suffering. Even if it's a painful part that we don't want to look at, that causes us suffering. It causes us disease. Literally, the cells in which that energy is stored causes the degeneration of the cells. And so, in precisely the same way, as people allow themselves to reconnect to that, even though it might be something very painful for them, by reconnecting, they are becoming more whole, and more whole is more holy, is more connected, and more of the human life that we are designed to live. So that's a great insight, definitely.
Well, and it's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very scary at first, but without fail, so far for the past 5.5 years of doing this group, people have been thrilled when they finally break into that file on punishment thoughts and laugh about it. So it is well worth the effort.
When we can embrace it, it's certainly, yeah, definitely well worth the effort. I agree with you on that one. And in the support group with watching the first half of the Empowered to Heal DVD, what other ideas there stirred people to question, to thinking in a different way? Anything else in particular to share from that?
Well, one person was having, he has a recurring issue he's struggling with related to whether things are real or imagined. So he keeps coming at this from different angles. And in the Empowered to Heal lecture in the first part, you're describing how the energy that's contained in my mind, in my unconscious, in my thoughts, is in motion, and it sets up a wave, an energy frequency, and it leaves my mind when I think a thought, and it leaves my energy field in my unconscious as it gets triggered. And that energy interacts with the energy potential that's in the world around me. And when it interacts with the energy potential, it collapses that potential from a wave into a particle. Or another way to say it is, it begins to show me a reflection of what I need to heal within myself. So if I have angry energy within me, I will begin to see anger or its corresponding emotion, fear, in the people around me. And in the same situation, I might be walking down the street with three or four friends, and they're not angry at all, and they're not really noticing anger in other people. But because I have it in me, I will walk down the same street looking at the same people, and I will see things to get angry about, or people to get angry at, or people who are fearful of me, or people that I need to be afraid of. He had a great difficulty, again, in the presentation, separating the difference between there is no world out there, only the world that I create in my mind as a thought, and the possibility that there is a world out there, there is an actuality, there is a field of energy nested within another field of energy nested within another field of energy. But the reality, my experience of it, is created in my mind. And the experience I create in my mind can be radically different from the person standing right next to me looking at the same field of energy nested within a field of energy, nested within a field of energy. So we keep trying to go about this, not just showing your lectures, but then discussing them after the fact to try and help him and some other people in the group experience it differently, to be careful to understand that we are not saying there is no world, there's no actuality out there, and that everything is a fantasy in my mind. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is there is energy outside of me. I'm energy. I'm not really separate from the energy outside of me. Only my senses create that appearance. And then with the focus of my conscious awareness, I can either strengthen that appearance and make that dream of separation even more real, or I can be introduced to the possibility of questioning that appearance, questioning that dream, and dissolve the edges that make everything seem separate until I'm in a more accurate observation of actuality and my role in it. And it's a tricky concept for people, especially as we've talked about when it's a new concept and it goes directly against what they've been conditioned with for X number of years. So that was another factor from the lecture that came up and was a big part of the discussion on Tuesday night.
Well, two thoughts I have around that, and if Sandra's listening, she might want to do this too, but before you play the second half of the Empowered to Heal video, you might want to play the first part of Introduction to Advanced Understanding of A Course in Miracles, and that's where I go into the story about the two-dimensional creature and how, you know, if we just imagine that here we are living in three dimensions and I have a basketball in my hand, and I say to the two-dimensional creature, we want you to play basketball with us. And they say, great, awesome, let's do it. And there, in their world, there's only length and width. There's no height. And so when I pass a basketball through their space, do they experience a basketball as you and I experience a basketball? Well, no, they only have two dimensions. So they experience a little slice of the basketball. They experience a little slice, a little dot to start. The dot gets a little bigger, a little bigger, a little bigger. Then it becomes a circle until it comes to the full size of the basketball, the full roundness. And then it starts to get smaller, smaller, smaller until it's just a dot again. And that two-dimensional creature, because of its limited perception, has taken what for you and I is a singular event
and turned it into something that doesn't exist, a series of flat planes separated by time. So they just invented time, where there is no time in the experience of a basketball for you and I. So that little analogy can be a good way for them to start to be able to see a little differently. And also, there's an awesome interview that you can Google on, it's an audio interview on NPR, and it's an interview with Jill Bolte Taylor. We've talked about this before, but Jill Bolte Taylor was a neuroscientist, and she woke up one morning discovering that she was realizing she was having a left brain stroke. And she describes how the whole construct of her world came apart. And she watched and was able to observe her mind and understand exactly what was happening, but I think was a little shocked when she realized that everything that she saw was a construct of her mind. And as her left brain, which constructs that whole reality, starts to dissolve and fall apart, there's a whole different world available to her. And instead of a striving, stress-based scientific life, Jill Bolte Taylor lives a life as a human being. And she shares in this interview, it's a really well-done interview, she shares in the interview how now, you know, she's back. It took her 8 years, and she's gone back to study medicine again, and she's now a lead researcher in, I forget, one of the big universities. Anyway, she talks about how and when she starts to get into that strife game, she's like, I quit. I'm not doing this. Because she knows that the strife is all a product of, it's all an hallucination of her left brain. And because she had the direct experience of it falling apart, she knows it isn't true. Though it is useful, it's not true. It's useful for where we're at today. And my offering is that there's a million times more utility in a true view of the world rather than this useful one that we as human beings have developed. This useful one that we human beings have developed keeps us in hostility, survival, strife, war, you know, financial difficulties, et cetera, et cetera. And that's all, well, the world calls it useful. You know, it puts bread on the table, they say. But there's a whole other game possible. So you might suggest that those folks Google, or maybe Google and download it. We played it as part of our intuitive development intensive this summer, and it was really powerful in the context of intuitive development. So that might be something to play at the group, too, would be that interview with Jill from NPR Radio.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I Googled it, and it came up as a Fresh Air interview. Is
yep.
that the one you're talking about?
That's the one. That's
All
the
right.
one. It's awesome. Really
yeah.
awesome. You can just download it free, and you know, we burn it to a CD and listen to it in the in the intensive, and it was really powerful.
I have both of them on our website under links. And I put your latest link out there as well, Dr. Tim.
Thank you. That was quite an interesting experience doing that. But before I get into that, let me just say that on Tuesday night, before they chose the Empowered to Heal video,
right,
as an intro to it, I discussed that dynamic that you draw out from the introduction to A Course in Miracles with advanced understanding of the two-dimensional creature in the basketball.
Great minds think alike, Jim. What can I say?
I would imagine. So that's a good idea. Maybe we'll do this next week before we do the rest of the interview. We'll do Jill Bolte Taylor and a part of that two-dimensional creature trying to understand basketball. You have a caller?
Yes.
All right, let's go with the caller.
Area code 315, you're on the air.
Yes, how are you?
Good, welcome.
Thank you. I have a question. I was with a severe alcoholic, and he physically and mentally abused me. And basically he got sober after like 8 months, and then all of a sudden just up and left. And you spoke of isolation, and when he left, there was, like, no reason why he left. I came home, and he was gone. And his family chose to do the same thing. Like, I would call his mother's up and everything else, and they wouldn't answer the phone. And then I found myself getting angry, you know, because I was the one that stuck by him when the family was going to put him in a home for, you know, alcoholics. I didn't grow up around an addictive family. I don't drink, I don't do drugs and all that. And I find myself getting, like I said, this anger that I can't get over. What do you suggest?
Well, what was your name?
Annette.
Annette. Well, it's good to hear your question, Annette. And a couple of thoughts that come to mind in looking at that is, have you gone to the website and downloaded the worksheet process yet?
No, I've never listened to your talk show.
Okay, cool. Well, the first suggestion I would make would be, when you get a chance, go to www.whyagain.com. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says download worksheets. It's about the sixth link down, I think.
Okay.
And the first four links under that section will explain how you get past the realities in your mind to get to what's underlying, what's happening, and bring healing to that. That's the process of forgiveness. In our culture, we're taught, you know, I forgive you. You know, that many counselors would say to you, well, you know, you just need to forgive him, and you just need to forgive yourself for being in that situation. We would say, never forgive him, never forgive yourself for being in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You might choose to pardon him if that's appropriate. You might choose to pardon yourself for mistakes made, but forgiveness is the tool with which you go into the next deeper part of your own mind and remove the pain that underlies the hostility. When you say you're not from an addictive family and you don't use drugs, but then you say when something like that happens, you go into hostility. My
mm-hmm.
offering is something we talk about in our Codependence to Interdependence DVD. My offering is that the most commonly used addictive drug on planet Earth is hostility. It is an internally produced chemical that, just like alcohol or any other drug, anesthetizes us against our pain. And so
mm-hmm.
you might want to start to look at whether the anger would be something you might want to drop, to abstain from, the same way an alcoholic abstains from alcohol, and let yourself feel and be with what's underneath it. And the sense I get is that perhaps the issue that underlies the use of hostility in that case is abandonment. You know, just from what you're saying, you know, if I invite you to go back into your childhood while your family didn't use drugs and alcohol, was there abandonment in the family system?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. So if you think about,
pardon me?
If you check out how you're feeling when you really allow yourself to touch into this whole situation of him just up and leaving, does that relate, if you let yourself feel that for a moment and then go back into that little bit of abandonment that happened as a child?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's no such thing as a little bit of abandonment. For a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, abandonment is full-blown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full-blown trauma for the child. But if you tap into the feelings of those two events, him leaving, you went home, and all of a sudden he's not there, is there a similarity?
Yeah. I've been reading a book on codependency, and my mother was ill all my life. And she had a couple strokes, and it was pretty much like I was the caregiver in a lot of ways, even though I was young. And it said that, you know, even if a child has to take care of an ill parent, that's an abandonment. And I tend to go to, like, Rick, where I felt he needed to have help from somebody, you know. Both my parents ended up with cancer. My grandfather ended up with cancer, so I've always had to take care of people in my life. And I think I fell into that when I had Rick.
So then what I'd offer is, what you want to do right now is take a deep breath
And as you start to do the forgiveness worksheet process that you'll find on the website under that link,
mm-hmm.
what will happen is you will delve deeper into the pain of that abandonment. And as you do the worksheet process, as you forgive, you will undo that until you get to the point where you come into the full experience of your human life as the active presence of love. And when
mm-hmm.
you do that, your whole life is going to be renewed.
Because, you know I love Rick, but I have so much anger that I, like, one minute, you know, I miss him, and then the next minute I'm angry. And it's kind of like I want to lash out at him, and I have done that in chat and stuff, and then I walk away from it, and an hour later I think, you know, where did this all come from? Why did I say all that? You know what I'm saying?
I understand exactly, and that's, you know, when we started the show, we talked about denial. When we deny ownership for, let's say, the five-year-old that really just wants to live a five-year-old's life, the excitement, the aliveness of this human beingness that we are called love, and they're forced to into a caretaker role, and they have to give up their human lives. There's a great deal of trauma and pain in that. However, when we deny that trauma and pain and just say, well, you know, I just do that, that's how I live, I just take care of people, then we're denying and hiding that trauma and pain, and we dissociate from it. When we
uh-huh.
dissociate from it, what tends to happen is, out of that dissociated energy, we tend to literally set up an energetic field that attracts someone in to bring that to the surface. And
uh-huh.
when that comes to the surface, that's the place where you can pull out of the denial game, you can take ownership, you can, out of your human beingness, out of the active presence of love, you can embrace that hidden part of you. Has somebody else got a phone on that, is, if you can put it on mute, there's a noise happening in the background that's kind of distracting. So as you allow yourself to embrace that pain, that dissociated part, there's where all of those conflicting thoughts come from the dissociated state.
Mm-hmm.
And when you embrace those dissociated states, the ones, the parts of you that felt abandoned, the parts of you that had rage at being abandoned, the parts of you that had fear at being abandoned, the parts of you that want to blame the current feelings on the current situation when they really belong to that childhood experience. And oftentimes, if you look at the parent, what you'll find is you'll get to address some of those same issues from the parental point of view, because genetically, whatever was going on for your mom was on to you in the womb. And so you might even end up having to address some of those issues that led to her disease process and led to her being debilitated, because we are, you know, products of an environment. Not that that determines things for us, but it has a great deal to play in our lives if we don't allow ourselves to get conscious of it and remove those things.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Now, I have a question. His mom, when he didn't have money, would give him money all the time, you know, to get drunk. And then, you know, then, like, he would come home and she'd say, well, how much did he have to drink today and blah, blah, blah. This went on and on and on. She wicked enabled him. So when he left here, he moved in with her, and it was almost like a, in her voice, you could hear, like, ha-ha, you know, he came back to me, and she's been real mean, and she lied to me. She told me that he was seeing a couple women when he wasn't, and, you know, I caught her off guard, and Rick told me that he wasn't seeing anybody. So why would this woman, you know, go out of her way to cause me more pain, you know? But yet,
well,
when he was living here, you know, she treated me fine on the phone, and she said to me, she goes, well, you know, I know that when Rick lived with you, you treated him good, and then when he leaves, you know, she took on this role of treating me bad.
Well, my highest thought for you would be trying to figure out her life is going to be the booby prize for you.
working to forgive the pain that you have around being treated in that fashion will be the thing that will give you gold.
Uh-huh.
Now, one of the things that that we point out in our codependence DVD is there are several what we call the pseudo-solutions of the non-being mind. And one of those solutions, one of the things that the mind of hostility and fear will try to convince us of is, if I could just figure this out, then everything would be okay.
Uh-huh.
And I invite you to just do your work around what comes up for you over her behavior, but trying to figure her behavior out won't win you anything. It won't get you anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Forgiving pain about being treated that way when, in your mind, you don't deserve it will assist you in giving up playing the victimhood role in your life and clearing out this hostility, this fear, this abandonment that has been a powerful part of your life. And then you'll probably find yourself so connected to being, so connected to love, that the next alcoholic you meet, and you may well draw another alcoholic in, you'll be able to hold them accountable for their behavior, and you will offer them support for their healing process rather than enabling them by handing them money to be able to go and drink.
Right, right.
That's what will change the dynamic in your life.
Right. Well, I got to the point where I didn't enable him at all, you know. So, you know, his mother did most of that, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, that happens a lot of times between parent and child. But my invitation would be to go to www.whyagain.com. You know, on the right-hand side, there's a link that says download worksheets.
Okay.
Start doing the first four links under that section. We'll give you the latest chapter 24 from my book, the latest worksheet, and two radio shows where we walk people through the worksheet process. So you've got a really good set of instructions for doing that. And as you start to do that worksheet, we'd love to hear back from you with any questions you have about it, and we'd be happy to support you in working through it.
Okay. I thank you so much for your time.
All right. Delighted. Blessings. Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
All right. We hold you in our hearts.
Thank you. Likewise.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Jeannie, we have any other callers?
We do.
In the chat room.
Area code 804, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Good morning. This is Edward from Las Vegas.
Hi.
How are you folks
this
morning?
Edward?
Well, we had a marvelous group at Unity of Henderson last night with Bobby and Connie, moving us forward. And my question this morning is, can we be angry without coming from disassociative energy? And is there such a thing as constructive energy without being labeled projection?
Well, when you look at a cellular level at the impact of anger on the cell, it is a totally disintegrative energy. It's a poison. So, you know, the question in essence is, can I use this poison constructively? I would say absolutely not. Putting a toxic energy into the cell will destroy the cell. Now, there are a lot of people who will play the game of, yeah, but, you know, I feel really empowered. My anger motivates me. Well, I'd offer that. You know, if you were on the show earlier where we talked about the dog and the ounce of gold and the pound of hamburger, that the so-called empowerment and motivation that comes from anger is so inferior to the level of empowerment and enthusiasm that comes from living as a human being that there's no comparison. So my input is, there is no useful anger. It just doesn't exist because it's a blinder. It's like you know, when you've got a horse and you want the horse to plow a straight line, you put a set of blinders on him so that he'll stay focused where you want him to be. He won't be looking over there to the right where the filly is, and he won't be looking over there to the left where the food is, where the hay is. Those things will be invisible to him, and he'll plow a straight line. Well, a human being
with hostility or fear active in their minds has a pair of blinders on. Now, it's useful for the farmer to have blinders on the horse. If you talk to the horse, he probably wouldn't call it very useful. There are those who have, I believe, structured us with hostility or fear in order to control us, those who would like to be our masters, and they try to convince us that our blinders are good things. My offering is blinders are not good things, ever.
Well, let me ask you this question here. Then, can I see the world differently by giving myself the opportunity to disagree, but I can watch the intensity of my emotion without moving into anger, but I can disagree with love and still say I'm okay and watch myself and not worry about what the other person is reacting to, but stating my intention and holding accountability in the disagreement, sir.
Absolutely. The whole idea of the work is to live a human life 24/7, 365, and a human life is that awesome presence of love that you experience when you hold the newborn. We can live in that 24/7, 365, and we can be in total disagreement with somebody. We don't have to give that up in order to disagree. All we need to do is remove the generational hostility and fear. Some people can't imagine disagreeing without first having some form of hostility or fear. And I'd offer that. It hostility and fear defile perception so deeply and destroy tissue on such a powerful level that there is no useful place for them. You know, people will say things like, I've had people who want to argue for their fear, and they're like, well, you know, gee, I'd go too close to the edge of the cliff if I didn't have the fear of the cliffs. It's like, well, I don't think so. I think I'd just say, cliff, 2,000 feet, don't have good balance. I think I'll stay away from the edge. I don't need fear to do that. I need intelligence to do that. And our highest level of intelligence comes with our human beingness, with that awesome love that we are, the stuff we're made of. That's where our highest intelligence comes from. And that's what will always handle everything the best possible. And I can have a discussion and disagree with you and say, hey, I hold the space of love. I love you. I'm going to stay in this space. I'm going to stay connected to being. And I don't agree with you.
So what I hear you saying is when I'm authentic enough to say I disagree with you, whether or not the other person, whatever they do in their reaction, it's okay for me to not surrender and feel like I'm saying or doing something wrong, that I'm not being, quote, spiritual. And that's the point that I'm in question in the spiritual movement, is how we treat and evaluate spirituality in my interaction with other people, Michael.
Yeah, by being totally responsible and living as the active presence of love does not mean that you have to let people step on you or take advantage of you. You can step up strongly and clearly and hold people accountable for their aberrant behavior when you're connected to love. When you're disconnected, what will happen is there will be a tendency to project your own aberrant behavior on others, and you'll do so inappropriately. Connected to love means you can hold people accountable. And you can hold, you know, one of my mentors early in this work, there was a Superior Court judge in Albany, Georgia, named Judge Asa D. Kelly. Kelly used to be the director of prisons in the state of Georgia. He was the one who inspired us doing Laws of Living and creating that course for the prison system. Kelly put thousands and thousands of people in prison. And you're on the bench as a Superior Court judge. And he never punished one person. Never. He would have someone who committed the most heinous crime come before him. And he'd say, you know, I love you like a brother. And our community has a set of standards. And they took up a collection to build a building with a set of bars to house the people who aren't safe in the community. And I love my community. I honor you. But if you're going to act this way in the community is not safe, I'm going to lock you away for the next 50 years. And he would do that with love, and he'd offer them tools for healing at the same time. That's where our Laws of Living course came in. And our time is up. It's well into the last minute of the show, and so I have to say thank you for your call, Edward. Thank you, Tim, for your input. David, we didn't hear much from you, but we hold you in a blessing, and we'll look forward to hearing you tomorrow. Bring a stranger with you tomorrow. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.